I'm gonna leave.
Hey, Lee, who's got us to leave?
Mr. Lee, I got it.
Okay, the other Mr. Kowalski, I'm sorry, the other Mr. King, thank us after all. The other Mr. David Neal will conduct your hearing, just hold on, sir.
And you want to run the afternoon, sir?
Yes, sir, no, sir, this is gonna be a good afternoon.
Yeah, you're gonna have a good one. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, would you please state your full name and agency number for the record, please?
Mr. Bernard Lee, my number is 3466.
All right, sir, prepared for your report of executive committee this afternoon regarding to your community supervision rotation. I want to just see board members in your cut your hair today. To my right is Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. This guy is Honorable Louis Jones, my name is Nick Neal, I'll be the chair today. Also, we have Mr. Brady from the Department of Corrections, and he also represents the court office this afternoon. Prior to this hearing, you received an invitation for advising you of this board hearing and the day of the hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you notified your right to appear and speak on your behalf to pay the rights of attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or did you represent yourself, sir?
I'm gonna have to represent myself.
Okay. I'm not a swearing to Mr. Brady this time, so you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, and you swear to affirm.
I do.
I do. And sir, you're gonna be collecting two faces this afternoon, one in faith, one will return with the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we will return to where your community supervision should be booked or be extended. For phase one, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna read the one allegation that's on your warrant. And I see that there's a rookie number on our warrant form, so once I read the allegation, I'm asking if it's true, false, or you have the option of pleading the fifth or not answering. Alright, so allegation number one is violation of Arizona Commission Supervision Number 5 is demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaulting behavior on about 12/7/2017. Is that true, false, or do you want to plead the fifth, sir?
That's false. I mean, I sound not guilty.
Okay, you say it's false?
Yes, I sound not guilty. I was really shocked.
Okay, could you speak up a little bit? I'm having trouble with him.
I took it to trial and I was found not guilty. There was a mistake in identity.
Okay. So when trial you found it not guilty? So since Mr. Green can go over that allegation for us, and then we'll discuss it for Mr. Green.
Allegation number one. On 12/7/2017, Officer Paul River, badge 100043 in Tucson, Department of Justice, will call from Circle Kenny at 3107 North Stone Avenue in Tucson to a person making verbal threats and appear to have a weapon. The victim, Vernon Walker, stated that the offender, Bernard Lee, 306-600, was being aggressive, making verbal threats, calling him obscene names, and was in a fighting stance and appeared to have a weapon. The victim believed he was in physical danger. Officer Nicholas and responding officers arrested the offender at that time. Follow-up number one. On 12/7/2017, the offender was booked in Sapina County Jail.
Do you have any information about the disposition for that?
In the case notes, 2/22/2018, Cynthia Richardson, city of Tucson, public duty, only convicted of misdemeanor possession of narcotic, but arrested for misdemeanor assault, threats, and two disorderly conducts. And trespassing, warrant will not be quashed per SPL Jerome. Then the case, then the, 2/27/2018, it says case done, the offender returned to prison. What that means, I don't know.
What's the word?
All right, sir, on this, you say it's false, did the, okay, well, being found guilty, not guilty, doesn't mean that the nothing ever happened, this means that in the trial, they were found not guilty of the charge.
False.
When the.
False was mistaken identity.
Well, I just want to ask you a question, did the officers that responded, they arrested you and took you to work in the Pima County Jail?
Yes, they never asked me any questions, they just grabbed me and took me to the county.
Okay, well, that arrest was, sir, that arrest was based on probable cause, so we're moving forward with this, you will have a chance to explain it better in a few minutes, okay? All right, so based on information in warrant number 2017W4342, I'm gonna move to Mr. Lee was delinquent and the violated terms conditions of the supervision of that. He may have lapsed or got lapsed in criminal laws of company.
Second.
Okay. Just one, sir. All right, sir, we're gonna move to phase two, remember, but I told you, Mr. Gray, you need some background information, so just stay on phone and we'll be right back with you. Mr. Gray.
Mr. Lee was released from DOC on November 17th of 2017. He was arrested on December 7th of 2017 by Tucson PD. He was facing new charges, a misdemeanor charge, assault, threats, disorderly conduct, and trespassing. He returned back to DOC on 12/23 of 2017. He has a CSED of July 18th of 2018. He has zero outstanding. Current conviction, 2015, burglary, third degree, 3 years. He has no prior convictions. He has one term with DOC. His CUIR scores are 33, mental health scores are 2, social abuse scores are 3. He has no gang affiliation, no prior term of supervision. Disciplinary violations are moderate. Other arrests, 2000, minor in possession of alcohol, felony conviction, state prison, Illinois. 2005, controlled substance violation, Illinois, felony conviction, state prison. 2005, escape, Illinois, felony conviction, probation. 2005, theft, Illinois, felony conviction, probation. 2007, domestic violence, Illinois, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2008, domestic violence, Illinois, guilty under sanctions. 2010, domestic violence, Illinois, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2010, domestic violence, Illinois, guilty under sanctions. Community risk score is a G4, V5. And here, at that point, the charges were pending.
That's true.
Okay.
Well, we insert, sir, you have your opportunity as well. Okay, right now, we're over as under your supervision, your case supervision. And November 17th, 2017, you reported to your approved residence, which was TLC of 843 West Thunder Road in Tucson. And then on December 7th, you were arrested by Tucson Police Department. So you were discharged from the TLC at that time. Let's see. During the time you were officer, did you have any employment?
I was in the process of doing a temp work, but I didn't have any full time employment.
Okay, but you were working out of a temp agency when you could?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay, you were assigned to TLC overseeing classes and programs. You complied with the requirements for on supervision, and let's see, you're assigned a task for cover of the main program, cover of one, and then on November 3rd, 2017. Your cover is called, but no sample was provided. Why didn't you do that, you hearing officer?
The problem was, I didn't know the area.
Okay, then you couldn't figure out where it was at, and you called your PO and asked if you could drop the next day?
I actually didn't ask him, I left a message for him, I didn't actually get to speak with him, and I didn't know how the procedure was, because I also, I couldn't go to TLC also, so I basically tried to leave a message, those people were going to call anyway, because I didn't have my own phone.
Okay. Did you know where the parole office was at?
I actually didn't know exactly how to get back there, because when I got there, someone showed me directions there, but when I didn't get to catch the bus back from there, it drove me to the halfway else. So it's kind of like putting me in the middle of nowhere, because they actually drove me to the TLC, and for me, there was just a day out there, I didn't know how exactly to get there, to be honest with you, sir.
Well, I do have a question now. Since you said you were found not guilty, did you have the story of whether they just got silent or innocent or what?
No, there was a complete trial, and they interviewed some of the witnesses, and the judge, I was found not guilty.
Okay.
She was mistaken, I didn't. In the beginning, when they grabbed me, they had never had people identify me. They just took me straight to jail instead of having them identify me at the scene, so they never knew that it wasn't me until then.
Okay. I'm going to switch my phone number to the other person at this time. Yes, Mr. Canales.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Lee?
Yes, sir.
I'm asking this with respect. You keep saying not guilty. Do you mean not guilty, or did the judge drop the charges? Like, what was the exact language?
I was found not guilty.
I wish we had more information from the Justice of the Peace Court.
I agree.
We had a complete trial. We actually got a trial with the lawyers in the room, and people were like, it wasn't like a drop before, but we had a trial.
Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Any other questions for the board? Mr. Lee, we're considering the end of your hearing at this time. We will be going into discussion and making determination in a couple minutes, but we'll give you an opportunity to make a final statement if you would like to. We just ask that you don't repeat yourself from the city, don't give us any information that we already have. Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm just a little person. I'm in the process of trying to, I can go and help my kids. And I'm trying to get things together for myself, and I'm hoping for opportunity to at least finish where I started off from. I know I'm the same service in essence, kind of through obstacle in my path, but it's kind of what I'm trying to show that I can be a productive person in the community, and that's why I have been taking the steps forward, so trying to show that I can do something better for myself. I'm sorry to see the situations went the way they were, but I'm glad that the Justice System was able to at least show what happened for me. I made myself one of your hands, and I know that I will not make you look bad if I have an opportunity to give myself to them, because I can show them what they need me. And I really don't know what to do from here if I actually been taking the steps for the trial before my life. And I thank you. God bless you.
Okay, sir, I do have one further question before we move into discussion. Did you have even a verbal, and I don't want to say confrontation specifically, but were you talking to or dealing with this, the victim in that assault, or that resulted in his arrest? Were you having dealings with him before the police came and arrested you?
No, sir, I'm going to be all honest with you. I live in the halfway house. I know where he came to be out. I was just walking down the street. Yes, I got this early case. I turned around and told him to start pulling up. And then he grabbed his gun. He said, drop it. I had a book bag on my back. So he said, drop your book bag. And so I said, well, it's a book bag. Then they grabbed me. They checked me. I had $5 in my hands. I was walking to a certain case. And then this lady came past. And she, well, she was an officer. She came past and said, he thinks he run the police. I don't know why she said that, but I was that about then. She said that they all were like, yeah, we have charges on their own. I even got trespassing from the Circle K. I had never been there before in my life. I had only been out for 3 weeks, and I never had been in Tucson. I had no idea who these people were because I was spending my time in the halfway house. I only got certain hours to leave, and I have to call them. So I didn't really understand what took place for something that happened, but it was, I wasn't there, it wasn't me. You know, but I didn't get a chance to even, they never asked me any questions. They never gave me a chance to actually give, to take a statement and see if these are one day of education. All they did was grab me, search me, they sat me in the car, and they got a pay record to come take me to the county. And I didn't really find out what was exactly going on until they let me know what I was charged with.
Okay. All right. Can serve the order of your discussion this time with the audience themselves. We ask that you stand forward and listen to conversation, but please remain silent while we're in discussion, and then when we're done, I'll be back with you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We're in discussion. This is one of those I wish to have a little bit more information. Mr. Kunis.
I was going to ask if we could ask Mr. Grady if the parole officer was easily accessible. I think a little more information would help.
Yeah, that's right. Looks like he's working on that already.
I'm working on that now.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. I said one of the problems is that even going in through trial and being found not guilty doesn't mean that there was nothing going on at the time that he was arrested.
I agree with you. I just feel like that it's pretty vague as to what was put in the coroner notes. And
yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I can understand a situation where two people are, you know, getting a little heated, and somebody calls the police, and the police right next to the, you know, right that close to a halfway house, don't really ask all the questions that they might supposedly should. But I think what he said about that drug charge was a prior conviction, didn't have anything to do with this, you know, with that arrest.
Well, we never know because got to remember where he was. Yes, it was close to the halfway house. It was also at Circle K. Circle K has some reputation. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
As well.
Well, that's what I mean. It's one of those. I've seen it both ways many times. And, you know, if you're in a certain area, sometimes the police react real quickly without having all the information. Or sometimes the situation is good for arrest and everything, but for whatever reason, the judge finds them not guilty even in a trial situation.
As far as the auto answer machines,
you can't get information out of an answering machine.
No.
Okay,
So, you want to come back to court here with the only one who's on the defender. He understands that the case was, he's thinking the end of the game. Trying to verify that. Yes, we tried to demonstrate the personnel. We tried to see her. The prolapse of her was riding on. He didn't do it because he didn't want to go. The problem is they kind of, he knows if the parole officer is there, he's going to walk over there again right now.
Okay, all good.
Clarification, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, okay, thank you. Yes, 306-600. Bernard Lee.
That's what I'm asking. We have a man that had a conviction for missing their possession of narcotics, and then the other charges were dropped.
Okay, so everything else was dropped, but he still was...
And so, since he was involved in those things and discussed by supervisor, he was returned to prison. It's another violation of his parole. And so, I don't quite understand what he means of mistaken identity.
Yeah, well, I just asked this question, could you check the current notes?
Okay, one second, I'll ask a question.
If you could check the current notes to see if Mr. Lee reported to his parole officer within one working day after he was arrested.
Did offender Lee report to his parole officer one day after he was arrested, after he was released from his arrest?
Did he report in person?
Did he report in person?
No, he was arrested on 12/7, when he was in Dayton County Jail. I charged him until...
Yes, he could.
Yeah, in Dayton 22, and he never reported here after he was released, even when he was released. As far as I know, he went right to Dayton County Jail.
Okay.
He was at 22, but he never reported after 22.
Did he report to the street, or did he was transferred back to DOC?
Apparently, he just went right back to DOC.
So he didn't have an opportunity to report.
Well, let me ask the question this way again.
Well, that's because he violated his conditions of parole. And he went to Dayton County Jail for those violations. So, as I remember it, I discussed it with my supervisor. And then, when he was in Dayton County Jail, I wrote him a warrant. I checked him a warrant, as I remember. Do you have him a warrant up?
Yeah, we have a warrant.
Did you check him for warrant?
Negative. The only thing is engaging in assaultive activities.
That's a technical warrant. He did have technical violations.
Okay.
For his condition of supervision. So as soon as he went to prison, we discussed this.
That's right.
Yeah, all of it. Yeah. What is the warrant for?
Engage in assaultive activities.
Yes. Well, we discussed that. I understand that.
There's nothing about drugs in it.
So the meeting wasn't engaged in assaultive activities.
Yeah.
He was arrested for that. Being arrested for that, from my understanding, as I recall, from my conversation from my supervisor, that's when we decided to write the technical warrant out.
Okay, there's nothing there about drugs.
I can't remember. Initially, I think I put it on there, and I don't know. I can't remember right now. I have the impression from it. But he violated his condition of supervision. I thought he ended up in Pima County Jail, from my understanding. And so, because of the situation, again, we wrote the check for warrant, and he was returned to prison.
But could he answer one other question, and then I'll be finished. Do you show that he was discharged from transitional living community?
Was he discharged from transitional living communities?
We don't have to get there on that stuff. Hang on. Well, he weren't been discharged from DOC when he was arrested and booked into Pima County Jail.
Okay. Well, let's rebalance that. Excuse me, go ahead. I was talking to the board member. The board member agreed to ask that question because he signed the conditions. He signed the condition of supervision number C. If discharged from the program, in this case, it would have been TLC for any reason. They said, for what reason? He must report in person to assigned parole officer or duty officer at Tucson Parole Office at 1275 West Star Pass. I know he was in, I know he was in prison, but he did not report to his, if he was discharged from that program.
The question was he discharged from TLC before his arrest?
When was he discharged? I don't know when he was discharged.
He said he wasn't. He wasn't discharged before his arrest.
He said he was discharged before his arrest?
No, I'm asking a question. Was he discharged from TLC before before his arrest?
Hold on to check. He was released on 11/17 and he was, went to transitional, he went to TLC. And then on 12/7, I was advised that he was arrested. And again, as soon as he was arrested, he was held in jail for quite some time.
So he was discharged because he was in jail.
Before he was arrested. He was not discharged from TLC before he was arrested. He was after he was arrested and he was in jail. And when he doesn't show up within 24 hours, TLC will automatically send a discharge notice at payable at his allowed leave.
Okay.
I'm working here trying to find the file.
Okay, hold on just a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to check. I mean, based upon the information that we've received so far from the parole officers, why is he in jail? Why was he arrested? It's just that simple to me. Why was he arrested based upon information that, lack of information, information that we don't have? Why is he arrested? Well, I mean, not arrested, that's the wrong word. Why is he incarcerated in the Department of Corrections?
Question, why is the offender incarcerated with the DOC right now?
Because he violated his conditions.
Which, what did he violate? The engaging in excessive activities was dropped.
Well, he's still engaged in offensive activities. We've got one disorderly conduct and the other one that's...
So all of that was, as far as we know, all of that's dropped.
But as far as that is happening, there's still a violation. He was prosecuted for being arrested is a violation of his condition. And because they were assaulted in disorderly conduct charges, again,
because he was arrested for all of that's a violation.
He was returned to prison.
You see, because he was arrested for him, that they consider a violation.
Yes. It's a violation. He is not engaged in those things.
Okay. Even if he was wrongly arrested.
Even if he was wrongly arrested?
They sometimes drop charges to
police working
out, so I'll read
the police report and report
he was involved.
Police
report said he was involved. He was involved in these activities.
Great. Okay, anything else?
Right here
was
a
name for his life. None of that was in the warrant.
Did
the
police report.
But we're going off the warrant.
Because we don't.
What you charged him for?
He engaged in malicious behavior. Again, when I talked to discuss this with my supervisor, I remember he approved the warrant. We went from there.
You were arrested for the warrant?
No. I would ask that the parole officer not begrudge us for being fair. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you much.
Thank you.
said, I would ask that the parole officer not begrudge the board for being fair, which we're going through our due diligence.
We're going through our due diligence.
Pardon?
What I said was, and I'm just one of the board members, I would say, please don't begrudge the board for being fair. We're just going through due diligence right now. Thank you for your assistance.
No, you don't begrudge at all. I'm just trying to explain what happened from my perspective. I give you the best information that I can.
Thank you, sir.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Right, so back.
Okay, up.
So back.
Yes.
We'll continue discussion now. My thoughts on the argument, it's not always correct, but normally an actual physical arrest in a situation like that is based on probable cause of being the person given something or was some way in participation of a crime. If they didn't have problem cause to where we did it, they would have written it up and turned it in, submitted it for perusal by the whichever county attorney or prosecutor whatever would be doing. At least that's my experience in my career in law enforcement. And although charges were up, people were found not guilty, it doesn't alleviate the fact that they were actually at least partially involved in the crime they were accused of initially. And being on parole, you have to be hitting yourself a whole lot more than if you're an average citizen around out there. Well, I don't hear any comments that the other member board members might have on this.
I guess I'll come up and be more simple. I think that in as much as you have, and I know that this should not be the case, but in as much as you had experience in this area, I would trust your expertise, sir.
And I agree with you, Mr. Neal.
Okay, so based on the information and the information you got from the parole office specifically, and our discussion, I am going to move to revoke Mr. Lee's supervision as a delinquent violated terms and conditions of supervision and an actual about the patch in a criminal race or company. Specifically, he was involved in an incident where there was some question about assaulting behavior and he was arrested for, moving on probable cause. And if you went to a trial, then there was no doubt that it would probably cost for the arrest at least. So I would move to the local senior supervision based on that information.
Second.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Mr. Lee, the board has had voted to revoke your community supervision. At this time, however, July 18th of this year, you will be released from the community supervision review. So, Mr. Green, we have a form of having discussions or disagreements.